What did Jesus have to say about bearing fruit in the Christian life? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us today. Whether you knew it or not, you've joined us for another installment of our current series, which is on Jesus's parables. Jesus's parables are often misunderstood, which is why Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are giving us a thorough explanation of each. Today, we're going to look at the four soils found in Luke 8. Here's Bob and Sean with Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We are going through a series on the parables of Jesus, and today we're going to be in Luke chapter 8. We're going to go from verses 4 to 18, and we're talking about the parable of the four soils, is what some people call it.
Right, the sower, some people call it, or the four soils, or the sower and the soils.
Maybe we can start off by just briefly saying how most people take this parable. Most people take it as there are four soils, they represent four different types of people. And most people say only the last soil, the fourth soil, represents a born-again person.
That is the normal way. And they will say 1, 2, and 3 are three different types of unbelievers. Number one would be the extreme unbeliever. Just rejects the message of Christ and the good news of Christ right away.
Right.
2 and 3 would be people who initially accept the message and show joy in the message, show some sort of fruit, some sort of growth. But then over time, they either fall away or they never produce mature fruit. And those are two types of unbelievers.
And that shows they were never born again to begin with.
Right. They were just imposters in the church. And if you take this normal way of understanding it, then...
I wouldn't say normal. I'd say common.
Okay. The distinction would be what? That this is... it's not the way it should be taken, but it
right.
is the way that probably the majority of churches would understand
right.
it, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. It's the most common interpretation.
Yeah.
Most churches believe that salvation isn't by faith alone. You have to work at it. It's a lifelong thing. You need to prove it
right.
with your works, and you need your works working with your faith in order to have genuine faith. And so really, these parables aren't a source of comfort necessarily. It's a source of worry, I think, for most people, because they're going to look at that and they're going to say to themselves, well, I don't know if I have mature fruit. Do I have enough mature fruit to prove that I'm saved?
Well, exactly. A lot of preachers who use this, what they will do is they will be thinking, my congregation is made up of both born-again people and people who aren't born again. And part of my job is to warn the people who are soil 2 and soil 3, that if they don't become the good soil, they're not going to make it. And
right.
so what ends up and happens is when this parable is discussed, it often leads to people doubting their salvation.
Right. It's kind of used as a way to destroy the salvation that people have, because some people might have biblical assurance, which is just based simply on Jesus' promise of eternal life. They believe in him. And then a preacher might come along with this parable and say, well, how do you know you really have it? What if you're the second soil, or what if you're this third soil?
That's a good point. A person can believe based on the promise of Christ, the promise of John 3:16 and other verses, and then have someone come along and take that away from them.
Right.
Why don't we first look at the telling? Because this parable is interesting. First, we have the telling, then the interpreting, and maybe even the applying at the end.
All right. So in chapter 8, verses 4. And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him, Jesus, from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Often, this parable is understood as saying the good soil, that's the Christian, because all Christians are good soil. All
right.
Christians are producing this 100-fold crop.
If you're really born again, you're going to produce a 100-fold crop.
You'll be the good soil.
Anything less than that, and you should wonder if you're going
right.
to hell.
Now, we're going to come back and look at the particulars in a minute, but let's go to the interpretation. Well, in between, we have a statement saying basically that we saw this in the first episode about parables, is that parables are used to keep the truth from people who aren't really open.
Right.
So we get that in verses 9 and 10, and then 11 to 15, he interprets it for us.
Verse 11, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So the sower is throwing out the word of God. So he can be a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary.
Right. I mean, clearly Jesus himself is the sower at this point, but ultimately this is going to be his apostles and this is going to be Christians in every generation.
All right. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside, this is the path on the edge of the farmland, right? It's not like the farmland itself. It's
right.
Not the garden itself. It's where you would be walking.
Right, to throw the seed in the furrows.
So those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So that's important.
I think that's telling. This is tying in believing and saving, and this suggests that he's talking about salvation from eternal condemnation, not salvation from Rome or salvation from difficulties in this life.
Right. So that first, the wayside seed, they're definitely not saved.
Right.
Because the birds come and they devour the seed, and the birds represent Satan.
Right.
So Satan has taken away the word so that they can't believe and be saved.
Right, because Satan believes, I would suggest, in eternal security. He knows
right.
that once a person believes this message, they're saved once and for all.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is only in the first two soils do we see the word believe.
Interesting.
Soil one does not believe. Soil two, we're told, believes, but only for a time.
Right.
Three and four, it's understood they believe, but it's not stated.
And a great thing here, by the way, is that the only condition to be saved is to believe.
That's right. That's clear here.
It's not believe and baptize, believe and go to church, believe and be a good person, believe and repent. It's just believe and be saved.
I say it's clear. However, the way it's often interpreted is if you really believe, you're going to produce this work, you're going to be faithful to the end, you're going to persevere, and so they bring in
right.
a lot of other things.
But Jesus assumes all it takes is that one
that's
act
right.
of faith, and Satan assumes that too. One act of faith and you'll be saved.
That's right.
So that's what the parable actually says.
Right. In fact, before we get to the second soil, look at the telling of the parable in verses 6, 7, and 8. In verse 6, some fell on the rock as soon as it sprang up. I have that circled.
Uh-huh.
Verse 7, some fell among thorns and the thorns sprang up with it. I have that circled.
Right.
Sprang up with it.
Sprang up.
And then verse 8, but others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold.
I'm noticing that it springs up in those three soils, but that first soil never gets to spring
exactly.
up. Satan takes it away.
Right. Springing up is what occurs after germination.
Right.
Germination occurs under the soil, and then some sprout breaks the soil, and you see the green sprout coming up.
Right.
What you have in soils 2, 3, and 4 is something is breaking the soil. So clearly life has begun. In fact, commentators who actually discuss this say God gave some kind of spiritual life here, but it wasn't really everlasting life.
Right.
Or others would say, if they're Arminian, well, sure, God gave everlasting life, but then he took it away.
Right. But you're saying the fact that it springs up shows the word of God took root and the person was saved.
Exactly. And you can see that in the interpretation in verse 12.
All right. Verse 12. Those
13.
Oh, it's verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. So they've believed, and we know that if you believe, what happens?
Well, they're saved because of the previous verse.
Right.
It does say for a while, and some people have come up with a doctrine called temporary faith,
mm-hmm.
but the problem with that is at the moment of faith, a person is born again.
Right.
It's not after 6 years or 60 years or 6 months or 6 hours of believing a person is born again. It's at the moment of faith.
Right. It takes a second.
And so notice they receive the word with joy. And Luke and Acts, to receive the word is basically synonymous with believing it.
Right. And that's true in John 1:12,
right,
I think.
Right. And it says, who believe for a while in a time of temptation fall away. So I think what this is saying is, there are believers who are going to fall away.
Right. You can believe, be born again, and then you just kind of flounder in the Christian life and you fall away from your faith.
The person's still saved, but is not glorifying God. This would be failure in the Christian life.
Verse 14. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Now, it doesn't say they've received the word or anything, but that seems to be implied.
I think it is. Each soil is better than the one before. Obviously, the fourth soil is the best, the first soil is the worst, second is better than the first, and third is better than the second. So this one has to be regarded as having received the word with joy,
right,
as having believed it, but not for a time.
Right. So it says they've heard, and so the implication is they've believed.
Right.
And the fact that it gets choked shows that something sprang up to be choked.
Right.
Definitely, this is a saved person.
Right.
They've made some progress in the Christian life. But then the world, love of the world just kills their faith.
Yeah, and the things that choke them out are things like cares, which we all have, riches, which we may have, and pleasures. Not sinful pleasures, but just normal right. pleasures of life.
And by the way, I just said it kills their faith, but that's not true. It says that it produces no fruit to spiritual maturity.
Right, so they may have fruit, but they don't have abundant fruit.
And so they never really reach their full potential.
Right, it's the last soil that reaches the full potential.
But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience.
That should be all of us. And we should pray, God, give me a noble and good heart. That's the kind of person we want to be. And we really don't have time to develop 16, 17, 18. But I think that's the Lord's application of the parable. And I think what he's talking about when he says, take heed how you hear, is that we're all going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ as believers, and we'll be evaluated based on what we did with the Word of God. The Word of God is not only that by which we're born again, but it's also that by which we produce mature and abiding fruit. Someone who is the first soil type of person can certainly cry out to God and come to faith. And if that person were, he will no longer be the first soil. He will be the second soil. And the second soil type of person, a person whose faith is tenuous, can grow and mature and become the third soil. And the third soil kind of person, let's say that you're someone and you love golf, that's great. But if you're golfing 40 hours a week, unless that's your job, it's choking out lots of things God would want you to do. And so I think the point here is God wants us to be productive. And the call for all of us is to take heed how we hear the Word of God, because the Word of God is the way in which we produce mature fruit that glorifies God.
Thanks to Bob and Sean for their great discussion on the parable of the four soils. Now, this might be new to you. You may have heard a different teaching on this particular parable or another that you've heard in this series. If that's the case, I want to encourage you to go deeper. I want you to take a look at some of the materials that we have on our website at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Right there on the site, you can search for articles concerning your topic of interest. Maybe you'd like to know about the four soils. Search it. Maybe you'd like to know about all of the parables. See what we have available. Now, in addition to that, we have all kinds of free resources that you may not know about. We have a free print magazine that goes out 6 times a year. You can get a free subscription to it by going to faithalone.org. You can subscribe to our daily podcast and our daily blog posts and much more. I hope you'll take advantage of everything we have to offer at faithalone.org. Maybe you'd like to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus. If that's the case, you can find out how to do that on our website. Every gift is tax deductible, very much appreciated, and helps us continue doing the work that we're already doing. If you've got questions or comments, Bob and Sean get nearly giddy when they hear from listeners. You can reach out to them at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we're going to discuss the rich fool, one of Jesus' parables. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.